Yeah, oh man, mindset, this unlocks everything.
Yeah. And I think it's so important to fill your cup outside of work as well and outside of your career and build on the things that fill your cup and make you feel good and have really good people around you from both a professional perspective but also a personal perspective, because I think that's really helped me to grow as well. You know, having those moments where I am taking that time out and I'm going on a surf trip with my partner or spending some time with friends and doing a lot of mindfulness and meditation at the risk of sounding very spiritual. But I think just enabling yourself to switch off brings so much more engagement and grunt to what you're doing in your everyday career. For me, that's been a big shift.
Hello and welcome to the Brand My Career podcast. I'm your host, Alex Cutterford, and I'm so glad you're joining me today. My goal is to help you take ownership of your career, find your people through personal branding and networking, and take career-enhancing action. Managing your life and career can be hard. That's why every fortnight I'll be releasing an episode where I interview a diverse range of guests that will help you find clarity and build confidence in your career. Let's get into it.
Welcome back to another episode of the Brand My Career podcast, and I'm joined today by Mackenzie Hollow from Rarekind. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks, Alex. How are you?
I'm really good. Excited to be jumping in, having a chat with you today. Now, I was going to introduce you as a recruitment coordinator, but I'm pretty sure you got a promotion during the week at the time of this recording. So you're a recruitment consultant now.
Yes, that's correct. It's very much a similar scope to the role that I was doing before, but very, very excited. And just a bit more of a scope on that business development side of things and client facing role. So really, really excited. It's been a lot of work, but I'm so excited and I bloody love it. It's great.
Yeah, awesome. Oh, that's so good. Congratulations. What was it about recruiting that drew you to it, or how did you get into recruiting?
Yeah, so I guess my whole career, I've sort of been in sales-based roles or sort of that marketing, social media, sales. Recruitment was something that I actually fell into a little bit. It wasn't something that I'd ever trajected for my career. I thought that I'd be a psychologist actually. And yeah, it's just something that, you know, you're dealing with people every day, you're connecting with people. And the moment that I fell into it and I realized it was all about that relationship building, conversations with people, dealing with people, I just love it. It's very me. So yeah, I did sort of fall into it, but I've always been in that sales marketing sort of career anyway.
Yeah. Awesome. What was it that made you think you were going to be a psychologist?
Well, I started out doing a Bachelor of Psychology at university, and I've always been someone that's, you know, very much aware of the mental health struggles that we all deal with and anxiety and all of those things. And I think I was just really passionate about helping people and just getting into a career in psychology. But that obviously changed and evolved. I think just being in a people-facing role or a people-facing career has been really, really important to me, making a difference in people's lives, connecting them and connecting myself with them. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. One of the things I was curious to ask, and it's kind of, I guess, looking behind the scenes of being a recruiter.
Yeah.
What's a challenging aspect of the job of being a recruiter that maybe people don't realize or understand?
Yeah, I think for me, very much the confidence piece. And I'm very much someone that's dealt with that imposter syndrome, you know, being a young female in such a large industry and working to specialize specifically in engineering. It's a very male dominated industry. And I think building up that confidence and feeling those anxieties or feeling that imposter syndrome, but being able to take that feeling and sort of, acknowledge it and then pass it on. So it's been, something that's, you know, dealing with those challenges and those, I guess, client relationships and that kind of thing. But I think the anxiety, the imposter syndrome that comes with it and being in such a client-facing role where you're dealing with timeframes, you're dealing with people, and you can never predict people, right? They can do what they want. So yeah. I think that's been probably my biggest challenge. But I think having leaders around me that sort of believe in you and mentors that push you to say yes to everything, I'm very much a yes person, has enabled me to grow in that space, and it's been awesome. And I always think, if you don't laugh, you'll cry, right? So I just think every day, if you can have a laugh in your day, if you can think about what you're grateful for, it doesn't matter if you're really recruitment heavy and you're working on all these deadlines, you've just got to look at the positives, I guess, and stay positive through it all. So yeah, I'm a bit silly goofy, but it's good.
I'm sure that works for you, because I guess I came across you on LinkedIn, and you're clearly someone that just draws people to you. I think you're such a friendly, bubbly personality. So I'm sure it works for you well in this role, because I often, like, the recruiter is often the little piece in the middle that's sort of like between these different, you've got the job seeker, and you've got someone that an employer, and you're trying to sort of play that matchmaker, and you can definitely get stuck in the middle of stuff.
100%. And I think, that authenticity piece as well, just going in there, not putting pressure on yourself, being yourself, I think has been a really good point. Asking my candidates, about their family life, about their personal life, getting to know them on that personal level while staying professional and just being myself, having a laugh with them. I think they really appreciate it. And I love it. It's awesome. Mm.
Yeah, that's great. And you mentioned there around the engineering industry, and it is quite heavily male dominated.
Yeah.
Have you noticed any shifts through particular efforts around trying to promote females getting into engineering and more male dominated trades?
Yeah, for sure. I guess we've seen a real push in females entering the workforce in trades, and engineering is very much something that, from a design perspective, there have been a lot of female engineers sort of come into the market. But what I really like to see is a lot of our large scale clients are having a push or really promoting bringing females into that industry. And I think it's something that's really close to my heart and very special to me, but I think it's super inspiring. It's very much that male dominated, get your hands dirty sort of industry. So to have females working across that space is just awesome. But there has been a real shift, as the millennials and the Gen Zs come through, and I think it's just a push to, keep that really open and make people feel really comfortable to get involved and get into the industry. But definitely seeing such a shift in our clients, which is really awesome to see, and something I'm super passionate about. Yeah.
Yeah. I in my previous role, one of the programs I was overseeing was called Connecting Women to Trade. And it was all about trying to, one, promote to young girls that, hey, like, if you want to work in a trade, like, that's an absolutely a viable option for you.
Yeah.
But then on the flip side, helping educate the, I guess, broader community and business community about, well, how can you be setting yourself up to be more attractive to females, as well as just having everything that you need to actually be set up to make that a positive experience for them, culture-wise and stuff like that. So it's definitely something I'm really passionate about and gradually seeing shifts and people realizing it as an option for them. And that's the main thing. So long as they know if that's something they want to do, that it's an option.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess a lot of our clients are becoming more receptive to that, really, really collaborative and open to seeing females come in. And I love that. I think it's awesome. And I think there's so much more that we can be doing from an events perspective, raising awareness. It's just an industry I'm so passionate about, and especially in manufacturing. It's really cool to see, actually. I love it.
So you've got your promotion this week. You mentioned off there that you've been on a bit of a growth journey. What's that look like for you? What does growing for McKenzie look like?
Yeah, I think for me, growing is just putting myself out there, saying yes to everything and doing everything with a bit of a positive approach or a positive vibe. I always joke with the people in our office. I come in every day and crack jokes, very, very loud and proud, sort of walk into the office with that energy to bring to other people. And I think that that's something that's been really, really important to me. Obviously, mental health, well-being in the workplace, but also growth for me is putting myself out there, doing the research, working really hard, but I think just staying positive and having that attitude, you know, things can be going wrong, and I just always think, oh, well, at the end of the day, it's always going to work out, and having that mindset shift as well. I think it's all about mindset for me. I think everything around growth is about mindset. Your mindset is the only thing that you can control, right? Your mindset, your approach to different situations. So I think just putting myself out there, having a positive mindset, and I think for me, a lot of my growth has come from leaders in Rare Kind, and in our business we have a very strong mentorship sort of program, and it's not something that you see across a lot of corporate environments, but you know, that working really, really closely with our directors and having them, you know, believe in you and you know, speak to you with such confidence, you know, you've got this, you can do this. And I think having that support network around me has really enabled me to grow in the industry, which is bloody great. I love it.
That's all. Hey, Alex here. Just wanted to reach out to everyone and say thank you so much for following along with the Brand My Career podcast. I'm really loving having the conversations that I'm having and bringing this content to people. I want to keep bringing more content to people. I want to bring stories of people's career journey. And one of the ways that I can be doing that is by getting your support. And one of the ways you can do that is by shouting me a coffee. On my website, you can find the link to shout me a coffee to help me keep bringing more content, building what I already have done and improving it, getting better, getting more and more people on and sharing their career stories and the lessons that they've learned along the way. So thank you for following along, and would you consider getting on board and helping me take it to new heights. Awesome. I've had the pleasure of meeting a bunch of Rare Kind people, and was at a couple of events last week. So I was actually getting some inside goss on you from Tegan and Mia up in Newcastle. So some of that might come up in some of my questions later. But, yeah, everyone that I've come across has I'm really impressed by the culture of Rare Kind, just from an outside perspective. So, that's good.
And I think I've sort of worked across multiple corporate environments, and I think having an environment where everybody is pushing everyone to grow, but everybody genuinely cares about each other and genuinely supports each other as a young person coming into a new industry and wanting to grow and wanting to learn, it's just awesome. It's great. Mm.
Yeah. And so that mindset, like, was there a particular shift that you felt you found yourself having to make, or that you found yourself had made in that journey?
Yeah, I think so. I think I used to get really, really stressed and really, really bogged down. And I think it's that ability to remember what's really important in life, right? You know, connection, relationships, experiences, and being able to sort of make that shift from, hey, this is really, really stressful, appreciating that it's really stressful, but acknowledging it and moving on from there. I think that's something that has been a big shift for me, and working across very high stress, intensity roles throughout my career. And I've worked in management roles as well. But I think being very, very open as well is good. Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a funny one, isn't it? Whenever you, like, until you actually experience it, that this whole thing of mindset and the change that it makes for your life, you're always hearing, but like, I used to always hear people talking about, you know, like, you know, wealth building, talking people and stuff, and they'd always it's all mindset, it's all mindset. And you just used to sit there going, like, that's such a load of crap. But all of a sudden you actually start to notice some shifts in mindsets and the huge impact it has. And then all of a sudden you just can't help but deny that, mindset, this unlocks everything.
And I think it's so important to fill your cup outside of work as well and outside of your career, and build on the things that fill your cup and make you feel good, and have really good people around you from both a professional perspective but also a personal perspective, because I think that's really helped me to grow as well. You know, having those moments where I am taking that time out and I'm going on a surf trip with my partner, or spending some time with friends and doing a lot of mindfulness and meditation, at the risk of sounding very spiritual. But I think just enabling yourself to switch off brings so much more engagement and grunt to what you're doing in your everyday career. For me, that's been a big shift, is being able to enjoy getting outdoors, going surfing, having those relationships and switching off really gives me that grunt to be able to want to succeed in everything that I'm doing at work as well, which is really, really important, is looking after your mental health, well-being, all that jazz. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And did I hear down the grapevine that you have some sort of clothing business or something on the side?
Yes, I do. So I also run a dress hire business. So I've owned that for about 5 years now in between my career professionally. And it's something that I'm very, very passionate about and I really enjoy. But I think, it's been a big growth there as well from a marketing, branding perspective, understanding, client needs and that kind of thing. But it's something I'm super passionate about. It started in the bedroom of my home and it's just sort of grown from there. But essentially it's a rental company for dresses. So you hire at a fraction of the cost. But I think that's probably grown me as well. As a person.
That's awesome. How big's your stock now?
I've got 163 dresses at the moment, so it's if I ever need something to wear, I'm not short of a dress, which is awesome. But it's been really awesome actually, and I think it's given me a lot of foundations for building relationships, and it's something that I'm really passionate about. It's sort of on the same scope, but it's making people feel happy or making people feel really confident, and that flows into recruitment as well, which is it's really strange, but it's not what I expected to get into for sure. I came home one day from my retail job and I said, you know what, I'm going to try this and see how it goes, and it's just flourished from there, which is absolutely awesome. But it's given me a lot of confidence, I think, as well.
Because I have heard about a few of that and that sort of business model, and it has all kinds of ramifications, even just addressing fast fashion issues and people buying a dress, wearing it once and then throwing it out. I think it's a really good business model on a whole bunch of fronts.
Yeah, and I think supporting that Australian designers and Australian fashion as well is really awesome. Most of the stock that we have in that business is very much Australian designers, Australian business, Australian labels, which is really cool to see. And I think it was just such an awesome moment for me when I first started posting them all around Australia. So Adelaide, Melbourne, Gold Coast. And I just thought, this is really cool. This is awesome. Why do they want to wear my clothes? But it's really cool. I love it. It's great. Yeah.
And what's the name of it?
Dollface Hire.
Dollface Hire.
So we have a website and we're on Instagram as well, but that social media presence and personal branding on Instagram and I guess that personal brand has really been awesome as well. So it's crazy how much branding impacts business these days. It's good to see. I like it. It's something I'm passionate about.
Absolutely. It's everything. It's in a world where there's just so much information out there, it's however we can find a way to connect with people on a more intimate and personable level allows us to make that connection. And it's a big big focus of mine in this podcast is also how we're building our brand is through the career that we have and the way that we approach our career and the way we show up at work, the way we walk through the door of the office and hype everyone up. That's your brand, Hype Girl.
I love it. I love being a hype girl. And I think something that is so important to me is that, I'm making a difference in people's days, or even if it's just a 5 minute laugh or a 5 minute joke, having myself as the face, I guess, of the business that I'm running, but trying to build my personal brand from a corporate perspective as well. I just want people to sort of be able to have a laugh, even if it's 5 seconds of their day. And it's really, really important for me to be, I guess, remembered like that. I don't know. I think it's cool. So it's a big goal of mine. So love it.
Yeah, awesome. What would you say are some of the key skills for a recruiter? If someone was going to get into recruiting, what are the key skills that they would need?
Yeah, I think just the ability to be really, really agile. I think if you're a people person, you enjoy talking to people, dealing with people, and you're able to be really agile and I think have that mental focus, to not get caught up if things are, you know, not quite going your way, because you're dealing with people, right? You can't control people. I know a lot of recruiters say people, people, people all the time, but it really is, people are the foundation of everything we do, and you can't control people. You can only control your mindset. So I think that mental health side of things is really strong. But I think the ability to be agile, the ability to build relationships, and I think something that one of my team members has as well, which is really great, is that fearlessness. I love that adjective, to be fearless, to be confident. You know, you're sometimes going into a room and networking with people that you don't know, and they're really smart. And I think it's just knowing that you have a place at every table and being able to, you know, confidently go up to people and have that conversation and, yeah, do your research. But that's from a woo-woo sort of a spec, but there's obviously a lot of admin and research and writing that goes with it as well. But I think it's just that people-centric focus and being really confident and backing yourself, and that ability to network and just chat with people. It's been a big one, yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, networking, huge, and yeah. Particularly I think for recruiting, it's a what percentage of your week would be networking and this being out connecting in the community?
Yeah, so a pretty big part of my week is involved in networking, getting out to clients. Something that I've grown a new love for very recently, actually. It was something that I found really daunting at the start of my recruitment career. You know, you're rocking up to an event or a client and you sort of think, what value can I bring to you? Or are you going to, you know, think I'm silly or not say the right things? But I think just taking away that pressure, and a lot of what I do is getting out on the road, visiting clients, going to events, networking with people. So it's, I guess, more so in my new role, where I'm running a lot more business development for Rarekind and promoting that sort of growth and getting out there and winning the work, finding the work. Yeah, I think a large part of my role is doing that, but just showing up every day. And yeah, it doesn't happen overnight, but I just think it's something I just love being involved in. Yeah.
And I assume people would feel pressure, like you mentioned, you're recruiting largely in the engineering space. Like,
yeah,
someone that starts in recruiting might feel the pressure that, oh, I need to like know everything about engineering, but really it's actually being able to get to the root of understanding, well, what's this employer's need and where is our value add within this? So what would you say to someone that's nervous about thinking they need to know everything about everything?
Yeah, I think for me, a large part of foundation has been doing that research or understanding the market and bringing some value to the client. So I think, you know, before I go out and visit a new client or a client that we've been working with for a while, I think it's really understanding their business or what they're trying to achieve. But I think it's, just doing the research, but at the same time, you know, we're all human, and I found that authenticity shows up a lot more, and I get a lot more out of walking into a room and being really authentic and trying to build that relationship rather than walking into a room and trying to be overly professional or someone that I'm not, or you know, spit all these facts out. I think that there is an underlying fundamental of engineering recruitment and the market and the roles that you're working on that are really great to understand, and I think that that's something that I'm passionate about. So it's come maybe quite easy to want to look at that a bit more in the market. But I think it really is just that authenticity, building relationships, doing a bit of research before you are getting in front of someone about what they do, so you can ask those questions and be really interested in what they have to say as well. So yeah, it's been a big one for me. It's no one comes into recruitment in a specialization and goes, hey, I know everything about engineering. So it's always going to be a learning game. I feel like I'll be learning engineering for the next 5 to 10 years and I still won't know everything. So yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think that curiosity piece is this key to networking. Going, it's the best way to actually connect with people and build those relationships for ongoing conversations and stuff. So you mentioned the market. What are the major challenges, I guess, in the recruitment market right now?
Yeah, I think there is engineering's very busy at the moment. So I guess every industry is very different. But I think one of the main challenges that we would be having at the moment is just, getting the right people through. And there's a lot of candidates out there, but I think expectations are definitely on the rise. And, you know, there are skills shortages across trades, engineering sector, that manufacturing, both light and heavy, and your mining clients. There's definitely a skills shortage in getting people on the ground. So it is pushing up those expectations for candidates. And I think working through those expectations, just while we're going through a bit of a phase, and I know that the cost of living in Australia is absolutely wild, so I think everybody's sort of feeling that across the board. But for me, it's just sort of managing those expectations and really understanding where those expectations are on the rise for high level roles. You know, there are obviously certain roles like project managers. If you ask any recruiter, project managers are few and far between a great project manager. There are roles that, you know, there's a lot of skills and a lot of talent coming through, but I think it's just encouraging that younger generation to come through, be a part of the engineering sector and hit the ground running. So yeah. Mm.
Lots of challenges. Expectations is an interesting one, isn't it? Like trying to get expectations aligned of what a business would expect to pay someone, what someone's asking for in line of, you know, do they already have skills? Is it that they actually don't have the skills but they want to learn on the job? And all the nuances that go on between that. And apologies if you can hear rustling in the background. That is my co-host, Bailey. I'm actually preparing to introduce him on LinkedIn because he's made it into my subtitles a few times.
Okay. That's really exciting. Congratulations. That's awesome. That growth. Good on you. That's awesome. That's awesome.
How can someone stand out? A candidate stand out in a recruitment process?
Yeah, I think having a really, really detailed resume that's concise and sort of gets to the point. I think that if you are looking to apply for a particular role, especially in the engineering front, something that I love to see is it is a bit controversial. Some recruiters love to see cover letters, some don't. I absolutely love cover letters. I think that they talk to the exact requirements of the job because, you know, sometimes you're not able to get everything that might be required for that role on your resume. So I think just broadening out your resume, having a really detailed resume. And I just love the connection-based stuff as well. A lot of the candidates that I deal with on a day-to-day basis or catch up for a coffee with and build that relationship with, you know, they may not be right for any of the roles that we have now, but it's something that's really important to me to build those relationships with talent across the sector because, you know, there might be an opportunity that comes up in 6 months' time or 12 months' time and it's absolutely perfect for them. It's everything that they've wanted and you can connect them into that. So I think, you know, if you're working in the engineering industry or any industry at that, building relationships with recruiters, I absolutely love that. I think it's awesome. But, you know, not the generic, hey, here's my resume, but really sort of building that connection because we love it and I love it. And building relationships with candidates is something that's really important to me. So putting a bit of a value add spin, reaching out on LinkedIn, building that relationship because, you know, when we get a role come in, there might be 100 applicants and you're, you know, looking to, you know, fill one place in the role. And I think it's creating that value add, creating that point of difference to then be thought of for opportunities that may not even be advertised yet. Something I'm really passionate about. Not every answer would be the same there, but I love it. I think it's great.
So you would recommend someone reach out? Say, hey, could we catch up and just meet each other and understand what each other does? And, you know, they might not even be looking, but at least now there's an established relationship there that there can be a conversation like, you know, ongoing.
Yeah, and creating that. And I think from what I hear back in the day, you know, it was very much people would stay in the same role from fresh graduate all the way through to their retirement phase. And there's a lot more jumping and changing and that sort of leapfrog approach to careers and different roles, I guess, with expectations on the rise and that kind of thing. So I think, people are just really aware of that now and being able to establish that relationship with a recruiter just opens their doors a little bit more, which is awesome to see. I love it.
Awesome. So if someone wanted to get in touch with you, Mackenzie, how would they do that?
Yeah, just reach out on LinkedIn. I am pretty active on LinkedIn. So yeah, just reaching out on LinkedIn, grabbing a coffee, initiating that first stage, sending a text, giving them a buzz. But I think, yeah, that's probably, yeah, the best way. But yeah, just establishing that initial connection with a recruiter can open up so many doors that you didn't even know were there before. So yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for coming on today. It's been really fun chatting.
No worries. Thank you so much, Alex. You're an absolute legend. And yeah, thanks for having me. I did think to myself, what do people want to know about me? But no, it's really, really good. And I'm wanting to say yes to everything. So awesome. Yes.
they want to know where to go to hire a dress.
Yes, yes. Everybody here wants to know where Dollface Hire.
Awesome. Thanks, Kenzie.
No worries. Thanks, Alex.
Thanks so much for joining me today. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And let's connect on LinkedIn so that we can keep the conversation going. Or head to my website and download my free resource, The Career Building Principles. Bye for now.